Amiga?
No. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's like going to church. And some of you told me or heard me saying this before. You know, when you go to church, well, clapping before the talk is like going to church. You know, that faith, hope, and charity. So now you clap before my talk and it's faith. Dear God, I have faith that he will give a good talk. And if you start clapping during my talk, then it's hope. Dear God, I hope the son of a gun will shut up soon. And if you clap afterwards, then there's a little bit of charity. Now listen, I don't need any of your hope, or merely knots of charity. But any time I hear Mark speaking, and it's sort of, you know, it's amazing how time flies, and you see your little one this size, and he grows up. But it sort of reminds me of when I was actually going around to ask his granddad if I could marry Mark's mum. So I went around to the house, and my mum gave me a clean shirt, not a new shirt, I hasten to add, clean shirt, tie. She combed my hair. Had a lot more hair in those days to comb. And I knocked on the door. And this guy came running down the stairs and he said, okay, what is it? And I was, you know, I froze. And he said, okay, what do you want? I said, sir, incidentally, to the day he died, I never called him anything but Mr. Byrne. So I said, sir, Mr. Byrne, come on, he said, spit it out, come on, what do you want? And I said, taking a big deep breath, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he said, you would? I said, yes, sir, I would. And he looked me up and he looked me down and he said, have you seen the mother? And again, I'm totally taken back. And I said, what do you say? I mean, this guy is all powerful. I mean, if he says no in those days in Ireland, it means no. And I certainly didn't have any dowry to go in with. And so he said, have you seen the mother? I said, yes, sir. He said, and? I said, I don't want to be disrespectful, but if it's all the same to you, I still prefer to marry the daughter. So every time I see Mark and I listen to Mark, I sort of hark back to all those years ago. I prefer to marry the daughter. And here we are in 2010 and we're talking about bounce back. And here we are in 2010 and we're listening and we're in Kentucky and, you know, things we love about Kentucky, there's three things we love in Kentucky. Three of them. Basketball. And so when we bounced back this year, we got ourselves a new coach, and he put together this book called Bounce Back. And we thought, what an appropriate term and what an appropriate phrase to have for our industry. All industries, indeed. All lives, indeed. Bounce back. And so what I'd like to share with you, bounce back. And I'd like to ask you the question, are you ready? Are you truly ready to bounce back? Is this in your genes? I mean, are we ready to bounce back. As we talk about things, you know, we got this fancy thing, people and profits and planets. And is that self-serving? Are we ready for bounce back? You know, the finest, the greatest four words in any language, are the four words, once upon a time. And you think about once upon a time, and you think about the stories that you weaved and the stories that you created for your children, for your grandchildren, once upon a time. And once upon a time, there was a child. And this child imagined an incredible future. And all of us, or many of us, have had children. And many of us imagine a future for them. But this particular child, once upon a time, imagined a future. But there was none. And not only was there none, but this child was thinking of a world of water. And once upon a time, we had a world of water. And now, there's none. And while there's none, yet, in this thirsty world of ours, this so thirsty world of ours, every single day, we use 2 billion gallons of water on our golf courses. And coinciding with that, and alongside that, we have the extraordinary situation where a little girl has to buy a bag of water for 10 cents. What an extraordinary situation for us to live with. Once upon a time, we began to recognize that greenhouse gases were a problem. And how many scientists and how many politicians around the world have put their head in the sand and said, it ain't happening. It's not happening. This is some political stuff. It's not happening. And yet we know that 25% of our species are facing extinction. And it's not happening. It's not happening. And we know that the polar bears are losing their habitat as they literally float away. And it's not happening. And we know that for every 2 degrees, indeed 0.2 degrees warming we get 6% more E. coli and 10% more Campylobacter. And that means when we hit another 2 degrees in the next decade or so, we are going to be rife with problems, gastrointestinal problems, associated with these microorganisms because they love to have warmer climates. Once upon a time, we wanted traceability. We wanted confidence. We wanted to know where does our food come from. And yet, alongside that desire and that knowledge that we are what our animals ate, not what we ate, but what our animals ate, we have this ridiculous situation where meats after meats and our fish contaminated with all sorts of drugs. And we call this confidence, and we call this traceability. Once upon a time was actually last year, we started analyzing all the minerals which are coming into our factories. We have 6 factories taking minerals to make bioplexes. And 1/3 of all the samples we analyzed, 1/3, 33%, were contaminated with PCBs or dioxins or heavy metals. And we rejected them. And we ask ourselves, where do they go then? in this world of traceability. And meanwhile, down in the Gulf, we have the oil spillage. And we cannot but be cognizant of what's happening there. But having said that, we're not cognizant. We're not aware. We choose to hide from the fact that in places like Nigeria, it's happening every single day on a magnitude which is way bigger than what's happening in the Gulf. So you ask yourself, is this a world of hope, or is this a world of hopelessness? Is it a world of hope or a world of hopelessness? Well, you know, if you're a mother, it's always a world of hope, always. And if you're a mother and you're looking to the education of your children, like my mum was, she had no education, I mean no high school education, and she focused on that hope. We didn't know it was hope or hopelessness. All we knew was we were going somewhere. How can I describe my mum? Yeah, she was loving. Yeah, she was very ambitious for her children. But there's one word which would have described her. She was a dictator. A complete and utter dictator. You will go to school and get an education. But she was full of hope. And she didn't see any brick wall. What she saw was a way around it. What she saw was a world of opportunities. What she saw was a world with no problems. Those problems would become opportunities. And as we think along that, and we think about what every single mother just about in the world wants to do, they want to educate their children. And they fundamentally believe that through education that their children will move to the next level. And so when I came to getting my company started, and I went to my mom and I said, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to start a company." And I thought she'd say, "Fantastic, and look after this, and look after that, and be careful about this, and go for this, and go for that." It's not what she said. That's not what she said. What she said was, "What took you? What took you so long? I mean, what is that the encouragement you would give your children? Get a move on, my dictator mum. What took you so long?" So my question to you is my mum's question to you. What took you so long? What took you so long to adopt technology? And we've taken that what took you so long through the crisis. Last year we had a crisis. The whole world had a crisis. We had a world of rip-offs. We had a world of layoffs. We had a world of made-offs. And this was our world. So what did we do? We went back to that phrase. And unconsciously, perhaps, you go back to that phrase, what took you so long? We don't do rip-offs. We don't do layoffs. And we certainly don't do made-offs. And so what we did was we changed lanes. We embraced our people. I recently interviewed a young lady, and she was in the army. And I asked her, what was the single feature that all leaders had? And without a hesitation, she said the following. All leaders love their people. All leaders. And that's what we have to do. We have to embrace our people. And so what did we do at this time of crisis? This is what we did. We increased salaries by 9%. We increased our workforce by 15%. We entered 10 new countries. We did 3 times more capital investments. And we reduced our debt by 30% at a time of crisis. And what did that lead to in this time of crisis? We doubled our profitability. What took you so long? And our message is very much along those lines. Why? And the why is that we have the same fundamental background. And the background is one of education and imagination. Imagination. Einstein. More powerful than knowledge. Always. Imagination. More powerful than knowledge. You get the education, but don't lose the imagination and build on your technology. So what's holding you back? What's holding you back from embracing technologies, whether it be the gene chip, or algae, or genomics, or nanotechnology, or mass spectrometry? What's holding you back? What do you need to have security? Because in this world, there is no security. You have to take some chances. And so when we look at these technologies, realize that they can convert problems into opportunities. They can convert problems into opportunities. And so if we look at traceability, we can go one road or we can go another road. We have to take our minerals and do something to them to make them more biologically available so we can use one-third less, or actually use one-third, and at the same time put that stamp of traceability on it. We have to take a different road. We redefined mineral nutrition. And now we can use one-third to one-fifth the level if we protect the mineral. And it's so obvious when you look at it with hindsight. And we have to tackle the problem of mycotoxins. And here's how. It's the only way we know. It's the only way we know. Throw education at it. Throw research at it. So I can proudly stand here today and tell you that after 15 PhD theses, 18 masters, 3 patents, 55 peer-reviewed papers, our product works. And it's our far and away our largest selling product, simply because it addresses a problem, Mycosorb. It eliminates that mycotoxin effect and works. And greenhouse gases. And we're so concerned about greenhouse gases. And we're concerned about what to do. Well, what took us so long? Because the solution may be facing us and staring at us. What took us so long? And let me remind you that 3 to 4 billion years ago, we had greenhouse gases the likes of which we never have and never will have. Because all that existed on this earth was carbon dioxide, was methane, and heat. And yet this incredible microorganism, algae, took carbon dioxide, methane, heat, and generated oxygen, and therein lies the basis of life. No oxygen, no life. And so algae is the way forward. And for us, as we look at algae in our world today, we think about that single algae cell which in one day will become 1 million algae cells. And we think of that algae cell which is the basis of life and how 1 ton of algae collects and traps 2 tons of carbon dioxide. Is it fanciful? Is it wishful thinking? It is. But so it was 4 billion years ago when algae did their things. And that's why, for us, opening August the 1st of this year will be the second largest algae factory in the world, 1.5 million liters of capacity, and Alltech will open it. Because we think, just like 4 billion years ago, algae is still the future. So how do we create these technologies? Embrace them. Embrace revolutionary new products, perhaps based on the gene chip. The gene chip. And I carry with me, always, my little gene chip. Gene chip. And on this little gene chip lies the history of Alltech, but we never knew it, and lies the future of all tech. And by watching what's happening at the gene level, we can now redefine nutrition. And so, for example, in the area of vitamin E, we can get the same effect with one-fifth the level. And so we focus not on the vitamin E, but on the potential. And this meat, incidentally, fed this economize. It's what you'll get in the stores here under the brand name Alltech Angus. And it all came from the gene chip. Not genetic engineering, but fundamentally understanding what's happening. And now we have the opportunity to go from farm to fork, to have that total security. And now we can take that gene chip and we can build into that a whole process of traceability. It's like having a laboratory on a plate. One animal on a plate. And we can do all sorts of experiments with that one animal, with that one laboratory on a plate. Every single thing you consume, every single thing you consume, leaves a fingerprint on your genes. And that's basic. And if we know that, and if we have the portfolio, if we have all the gene work, and we have all the fingerprints, then what can we do? We realize that everything has a fingerprint. And so we go into our body of fingerprints. We now have an unknown across here. Unidentified, we can come all the way back down. We make a match, and we can tell you that's exactly what the product is doing at the gene level, or if we want to have an effect here, we can come all the way back. We can go either way. And now we have the chance in real time to identify an ingredient, a toxicant, or in real time to set out your requirements and build, without ever seeing an animal, a whole new array of techniques, of products. And now we're talking about barcoding. And Joaquin, you were talking about China, and you were talking about how KFC is the brand, and that KFC is providing that confidence. Well, so will the gene chip. And it's not a dream. It's a necessity of sustainability, and it's with us today. And so now we're thinking in terms of an institute, an Alltech Institute of Traceability, and my mum would say, what took you so long? So think about it. Look into the future with me. Think about it. We're not talking about a $500 million company. We're not talking about a $1 billion company. We're not talking about a $2 billion company. The sky is the limit. So long as we have fun, and so long as we have the passion to make it happen, the sky is the limit. We have opportunities to address the problems of the world: cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, aging, and whatever else is out there. Alzheimer's, $6 billion problem, and there's no cure. There is no cure. And every single product that has been tried has failed. There's no cure. And so when I spoke to Professor Bill Marksberry, and we will recognize him on Wednesday, and we start talking to him about the possibilities with the gene chip, he was a true visionary. And he said, you know what? This makes sense. There's an opportunity, he said. If we can just change that graph, just push it off a little piece here, so we get it hitting us with a delay of 2 years, there will be 6 million people less suffering from Alzheimer's. So what can we do? And what did this true visionary, Bill Marksberry, say? Here's what he said. In my professional career, over 40 years, I have never seen anything have this impact. In my professional career of 40 years, I've never seen anything have this impact on Alzheimer's. What was he talking about? And why were we able to predict that that's what he would have seen? He wrote an article, and he put in here, he said, you know, this is a potential therapeutic agent against Alzheimer's. And what he was referring to was a normal diet with an Alzheimer's and the Cellplex diet. In 40 years, I've never seen anything have this impact. And that's leading us to Alltech Life Sciences. And there will be the basis of at least one portion of Alltech Life Sciences. It's a world of opportunities. And cancer, you want to be excited? Get yourself an extra cup of coffee. And come on Wednesday and hear Professor Ronan Power talk about the potential. Unbelievable potential. And it's just the beginning. But our industry has a problem. Terrible problem. And our problem is we don't know how to brand. We don't brand our industry. How do we brand? How is it that there's a product out there which is full of sugar, it rots your teeth, it rusts nails, it causes diabetes, it gets you fat, and has zero nutritional value. And yet we have another product full of calcium, full of protein, ideal food, excellent nutritional value, and we could enhance it. Two products, side by side. One, incidentally, we're going to charge you $4.39 a gallon to rot your teeth, to make you fat, to give you diabetes, to rust nails. It's cheap. On the other hand, the other one is only going to cost you $2.69, but it's boring. It's good for you. It's protein. It's vitamins. Why is it we allow this to happen? One's called Coke. And the other's called milk. And here's the audacity. We call one the real thing. You got the real thing? But it doesn't even want to be called the real thing. And we call the other one, surely, the real, real thing. Branding, guys. We have to brand our industry. And we have to brand our products. And we need to learn. And to launch a brand, you have to avail of whatever opportunities you are given. Just a few months ago, we were all watching the Olympics. And now, September the 25th of this year, the world will focus right here on this little town on the World Equestrian Games, the Alltech World Equestrian Games, the biggest sporting event. There you go. I have to tell you this story, and some of you have heard it before, but it's still a good story. When this guy came to me and talked about, you know, going to do the games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and after 10 minutes, I decided, hey, we'll do it. I decided, but I didn't tell him. So a couple of months, not months, weeks later, I was in a black tie affair and talking to the governor and all these big fancy guys. Where's the governor? Governor Brown, are you there? Wherever he is. Anyway, you know, they make you feel like you're special, particularly when they're looking for your money. Anyway, I stood up and I said, hey, you know, tonight we are going to be the title sponsor of your World Equestrian Games. I knew nothing about horses, then or now. In fact, I thought FEI was a division of the FBI. And I said, hey, I'm going to give you tonight $10 million to be the title sponsor of the World Equestrian Games. My wife of 36 years sat beside me and she pulled up my coat. She said, shut up. Sit down. You fool. After 36 years of marriage, those are terms of endearment. I said, dear, be quiet. I've got to do my thing, okay? She said, you talk to a man for 10 minutes and you give him $10 million. Dear. She said, never talk to a woman. She started doing the math. She said, do you realize that $10 million, 10 minutes, is $1 million a minute? That bit I got. She said that $16,666 a second, all I need from you is 3 seconds. We're going shopping. So this branding opportunity has changed us. And in 131 days, and it seemed like only yesterday was 1,000 days, the world will be looking at us. And in 131 days, we will realize that the world is looking at Alltech in a different way. And Alltech is looking at itself in a different way. It's called branding. And it's called confidence. And it's called maturation. And that's what our industry needs. Incidentally, I got to meet the Queen. Big deal. Is your dad alive? Yeah. My dad, I'm pleased to tell you, is dead. That's terrible. Are you shocked? My father is dead. And I am pleased that my father is dead. Because if my father, good Republican Irishman that he was, saw me beside Her Majesty the Queen, I would be dead. Incidentally, this is the Queen. Not this one, okay? This is the expensive Queen. I met Muhammad Ali. Is this surreal? And I discovered that his great-granddad came from Ireland, from Ennis in Ireland, a little town of 10,000 people. And we brought Muhammad Ali back to Ireland. And it was the most surreal thing that I've ever had in my whole life, September the 1st. When I bring him into this little town, and 150,000, 160,000 people turn up, and the man comes alive. So how do you top that? How do you top meeting with the Queen? How do you top meeting with Ali? How do you top setting a fund up with him? You tell us. Let me share with you something, and maybe you can tell us. Embrace the people. It's not about profits. Embrace our planet. Embrace Haiti. But do so in a different way. Everybody puts money into Haiti and it becomes a big black hole. Embrace Haiti. I went there 3, 4, 5 days after the disaster. Embrace Haiti. 30 seconds is all it took to destroy Haiti. 30 seconds. And after 30 seconds, we had devastation. I went to see a little hospital. And the little hospital was called for our little brothers and sisters. And a beautiful sign for this little hospital for our little brothers and sisters. And all that was left was the beautiful sign. And not a sign of any brothers or sisters. Because they were in the ground. They were buried. And when you go to places like that, unless you're stone, you cannot but be moved. And so as we think about Haiti, and we think about focusing on Haiti, and trying to help Haiti, we went there, and we located a little village, and in that little village, we're purchasing a piece of land. And we're not giving money, we're giving sustainability. And we're giving embracing. And right on that piece of land, we will build a sustainable Haiti, at least in our own little way, around an Alltech Haiti. So we're going to Form the company first, because without the company, we have no money. And we have no sustainability. And they will make different products for us, and they will export them. And incidentally, the bourbon, the Bluegrass Sundown, the coffee that some of you will have tonight, we hope the coffee will come from Haiti. And that will lead us to a clinic. And that will lead us to a school. And that will lead us then to teaching these people how to produce things, because that's sustainability. And is this a pipe dream? You better believe it is not. And this is going to start this year in June the 18th. And to me, that's sustainability. And to me, that's a team. And to me, that's a future. What took you so long? So, in summary, you know, join us. Join us in embracing these challenges. Join us in seeing the opportunities that exist in these challenges. It's time for us to bounce back. The world needs you to bounce back. Our industry needs you to bounce back. Are you ready? Are you? Oh, she said, yeah. We'll ask it again. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hey, Everett, are you ready? Come on, Everett. More Everett. We're on the crest of a wave, guys. And you put us on the crest of the wave. Let's bounce back together. Let's make things happen. Obrigado. Gracias. Gramila Mahagat. Thank you.